Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. With me, Joan Osera with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And recently, investors have been on tenterhooks ever since the Federal Reserve said it might start winding down some of its economic stimulus programs. Now, in the midst of this worry, some not-so-subtle hints, even from President Obama himself, that the current Fed chair, Ben Bernanke, probably won't be renominated in the months ahead. So, Rana, how important is this job search for a successor? How will it affect the markets?
You know, I think you could argue right now that this is the most important job in the world. You know, for some time now, central bankers have really been running the world, not just in the U.S., but also in Europe and elsewhere. And the Fed chief in particular it's just a hugely important position. As we've talked about many times on this show, quantitative easing, that asset buying program that's now being tapered back, has really been responsible for a large part of the run-up in the market. And because it's so unprecedented in size, the amount of assets that have been purchased are about 12% of U.S. GDP. It's a huge, huge amount. Getting out of it and getting out of it safely is going to be crucial to keeping the market stable. So you're going to want somebody that people feel confident about in terms of doing that.
Well, so who – we hear a lot of names. A lot of this is just guesswork. Who do we think is sort of a leading candidate?
Well, you know, for some time now, we've been hearing a lot about Janet Yellen, who is basically
the number two at the Fed.
Is already at the Fed and has very much been a part of orchestrating this program of asset buying. And she would be, I think, a very safe pair of hands in the sense that it would provide consistency. It's someone who's been with the program all along, would be taking over. I think you wouldn't see any surprising or new signals from her. And it would also be nice, frankly, to have a woman in charge of the Fed. Be the first time.
In fact, Charlie, most of the candidates whose names have been tossed around are pretty safe candidates. So, for instance, Alan Blinder, the economics professor at Princeton, who just wrote a very good book, by the way, about the financial crisis. You know, he's a former Fed vice chairman himself. Roger Ferguson, who's the head of TIAA CREF. He's also a former vice chairman of the Fed. Former Secretary of Treasury Tim Geithner, his name been tossed around, but that's not going to happen because he needs to make some money. And finally, lest we forget, Larry Summers' name is being tossed around. Now, that is not the safe candidate. He's a bull in the china shop. He's the former Obama aide. He's the former Treasury Secretary himself under Clinton. And some would say that he wanted the job the last time Mr. Bernanke got renominated, and some would say he wants the job this time, although he says he's not campaigning for it. It just so happens that all these stories are cropping up with his name in it.
Well, pretend that President Obama were to come to both of you and say, who do you think should be the Fed chair? You know, think outside of the box. Rana, who would you suggest?
Well, at the risk of sounding like I'm pushing a source of mine, I think Mohamed El-Erian is kind of a great candidate.
He's at PIMCO.
That's right. He's the CEO, actually, of the world's largest bond trader. He'd been a development economist. He knows a lot about these very complex vectors of globalization and technology-related job destruction and the effect of quantitative easing. He's been talking a lot about it and communicating about it over the last few years. I don't think he's necessarily looking for a new job, but that's my call.
Joe?
Well, I'm going to go a little further outside the box and going to suggest one of my favorite regulators, Sheila Bair, you know, the former chairwoman of the FDIC during the financial crisis, who wrote a scathing book about, you know, what it was like to be part of that. You know, she's been a former Treasury official in the Bush administration. She is very empathetic to the concerns of the average person. She understands the importance of getting the economy on track and getting housing back. And, you know, it's not going to happen, but, you know, it's a guy can dream, can he?
Empathy is not something you often hear associated with a Fed chief, too. I like that.
Well, let me move to another topic. A judge ruled this week that Apple conspired with publishers to raise the price of ebooks, and Apple really got slapped on the wrist here. So, Joe, if Apple is the loser in this lawsuit that was brought against them, who's the winner?
Well, no question about who the winner is. It's Amazon. Amazon was the hovering force throughout the Apple trial. Don't forget that the publishers had already settled. They had already acknowledged that they conspired with Apple. And the reason they conspired with Apple was because they were afraid of Amazon's monopoly power as a publisher of ebooks. And, you know, here we are today, and Amazon is still has more or less monopoly power over ebooks and the ability to set prices.
So it's not consumers who win from this verdict.
Well, ultimately, I don't think it will be. The fight always was that Amazon was pricing the ebooks at $9.99, and the publishers wanted a higher price, and they felt they didn't have any control over it. So part of the deal with Apple was Apple will let them set a higher price, and they have been able to do that. But what's happened is that Amazon itself, in certain categories of books, where it really has control and where it really has no competition, is in fact raising the prices. And that's exactly what you would expect the monopolist to do once they drive the competition out of business.
Well, in the little time that we have left, let's look at the stories we're keeping an eye on in the weeks ahead. Rana, what are you paying attention to?
So I'm looking at the slowdown in China. There was some new trade data this week that shows that China is slowing really sharply. And we talked about
the economy is not growing as fast.
The economy is not growing as fast as it used to be. And how is that going to affect the rest of the world? What's really fascinating is that in the past, when China has slowed down, Chinese policymakers have always stepped in and tried to speed things back up again. This time, they're holding off. And what's fascinating about that is it could mean that they're going to try and rebalance their economic model, make it more consumption-oriented, which could ultimately be good for us. But I think that there's going to be some short-term pain.
Joe, what are you paying attention to?
I'm watching the Fabulous Fab. Fogarty's tour, the former Goldman Sachs trader whose trial begins next on Monday. And he is the only person who is going to trial for the famous abacus trades in which Goldman Sachs allegedly misled investors by selling them securities they thought were going to fail.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org. And how about Joe and Rana's suggestions for the next head of the Federal Reserve? Tell us what you think or suggest your own. Tell us on Twitter. You can find us at Money Talking or leave a comment on the website, moneytalking.org. Don't forget, you can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine and Jonah Serra with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.